Praise God. Well, we've been in a series for some time called Your Race. We started the new year with it. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. Read that verse, those verses, and then we'll move on. Hebrews 12:1. It's on your sheet, of course. Hebrews 12:1 says in the New King James Version, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You realize Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Now. Amen. He's in heaven. Holy Spirit is here on earth. But Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. He ran his race when he was here, walking as a man. He was God. But he was man, 100% God, 100% man. You say, how can that be? Well, ask him. Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Hebrews 12:1, New Living Translation. Therefore, on your sheet, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." So we've said we have a race to run. It says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So we have a race. Each of us has a race that God has set before us, not our neighbor, not our parents, not our brother and sister. For us, each one individually has a race. You realize we're responsible for something on this earth? You realize each one of us has a call of God? If you're a Christian, you have something that God has called you to do, and you're responsible to finish that. I'm responsible to finish it, and you don't get to choose what it is. We don't. Those are men's ideas that think, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to set this thing in motion. And I'm going to do such and such. You can do anything you want to do, we tell people. That's not true for the Christian. It's quiet in here. This runs counter to our culture. There's a lot of things in the Bible that run counter to our culture. We need to wake up and realize that our culture is not godly. We have foundations that were godly, but we've strayed a long way. We need to realize that as Christians, we have a race to run, and who is telling us what that race is? God. You don't come up with your own path. Well, I want to be an astronaut. Well, good, honey. What did God say about it? What is God telling us to do? What's His plan for us? We each have a race to run, and we're responsible for it. We're going to stand before Jesus. We're going to stand before Him. And give an account for what we did. And we only have so many days to do it. And He's asking us to do something. He said, well, I didn't hear anything. Well, then there's a communication problem because He's talking. We need to get before Him. Maybe turn off the TV. Maybe, you know, shut off our phone and get before Him and find out what is it that He wants us to do, because we're going to give an account whether we found it or not. You didn't do what I asked you to do. Well, I never heard you ask. Well, you never came and got quiet enough so I could tell you. I'm not trying to be hard. This is reality, guys. We're living in the last days. Whether you think Jesus is just around, going to come just around the corner, I don't know the timing of His coming. But I know we're closer than we've ever been. I do know that. We have to be, right? Yep. But regardless of when He comes, we still have a responsibility to run our race. And people take this way too lightly. They act like this is a joke, like this is a game. It's not a game. We're going to wake up. At some point, not wake up, you're going to cross over into heaven. At some point, whether Jesus is going to come back or, you know, we die, we're all going to die. We're all going to die, one way or another. People are afraid to die. You shouldn't be afraid to die. We should be ready to die. There's no reason to be afraid to die. For the Christian, there's no reason to be afraid to die. You die, you're in heaven. There's no reason to fear it. You need to be ready to die. Amen. We're all going to die. If Jesus doesn't come back before, you know, if he couldn't come back for 200 years, I'm not saying he's not due, but if he doesn't, we're all going to be dead. Not a person in here will be alive 200 years. Nobody in here is going to live 200 years. So what are we going to do while we're here? Well, we have a race to run. We have something that we're to do. And notice, you know, I won't say that. But we have something that we're called to do, each one of us. I was going to say this. It's not me, okay? I endeavor to be following the Holy Spirit while we're preaching. But when you hear something, Mrs. Hagen said this, but it reminds me of a friend I have who's an evangelist. He said, you know, when a preacher is pointing a finger at you, there are three pointing back at him. And he said he had this friend that had this, what he called a curly thumb that would bend back. He said, so when a preacher points a finger at you, he said, there's three pointing back at him and four if you have a curly thumb. Mine's not curly, but his was like double jointed. He could point it back. So when I'm preaching this, this is not to say, you know, I have everything together and you need to get your life. No, this is the word of God we're reading. It's not Jim's word. Right? God is not a hard God. He's a gracious God. On the other hand, it's serious too, what we do on this earth. It's not light. In other words, God's a gracious God. He's a loving God, but his things are serious. Amen. They're weighty. There's things that we're doing on this earth that are important. So you don't have to walk like in a straitjacket on this earth either. Like, oh my gosh, I just don't want to do anything wrong. No, that's wrong. But it's also not, it doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want, and it's just God's good with it. That's not scriptural either. Paul's saying here, let's run our race with endurance. The race that God has set before us. He said, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor, in the place of honor, beside God's throne. So we've gone over some different facets of this. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Let's just look on your sheet there. It says in New King James, Do you not know... that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Notice verse 27 says, I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection. That means I tell my body what to do, it doesn't tell me what to do. Amen. We all have flesh. Everybody in here. You're going to walk around on the earth. You have flesh. You have a body. Your body does what it's told. It can get used to anything. But if you just let it dictate, it'll take you in the wrong direction. You know? Does everybody understand that? Huh? It wants to just sit around. It wants to eat whatever it wants. It doesn't want to go to church. It wants to sleep all day. That's your flesh, and we have to what? Discipline it. Like it says here, Paul said, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. What does that mean? I put it under. I make it tell, it's going to do what I want it to do, not I'm going to do what it wants. It's a bad situation when your body rules you and tells you what to do. It's not good. Now, we're all in different places. We all have different challenges. But one thing is common. We need to know that we need to keep our body under. We need to tell it what to do. And sometimes you're going to have to take yourself by the ear and lead yourself and say, we're going to do this now. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to tell your body what it needs to do. And you know what? Your body will obey you, and it can get used to some things. Brianna and I were talking about it. Was it us that we were talking about it? On the plane, about getting up? Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was you or Andrew, but I thought it was you. Your body, yeah, it was, because you were talking about that other thing. Your body will do what you train it to do. Even, like, so if you're used to getting up at noon, you try to get up at 5 a.m., your body will fight you. It's not going to want to get up. But you know what? If you get up every day at 5, and there's a day you want to sleep in, guess what happens sometimes? Whoop, 5 o'clock, hey, I'm up, ready to go, right? I don't want to get up. I want to sleep. This is the day you can sleep. But your body's saying, it's what you trained me to do. I'm ready to get up, pal. Huh? See, your body will do what you tell it to do. You can train it. People are saying, I can't, I just love certain foods. Well, that's because your body is used to eating it. If you start keeping your body from eating it, your body will fight you just like it will on the sleep. It will be like, no, I want that. But if you'll start directing it to start eating other foods and get used to that, you'll find you try to go back and eat their foods, it tastes good, but it doesn't taste the same. You're like, yeah, I'm used to this other thing. It's true. It's just, your body is just going to, we're creatures of habit. We can train it. We can tell it what to do. I remember, we were talking about this too. When I was growing up, I mean, we didn't drink a lot of what you guys would call soda. We called pop, you know, soft drinks. Pop, and then the South, they call it Coke. Even if it's an orange soda, it's like, you know, you want a Coke. But anyway, soft drinks, we didn't drink a lot of that. But I did drink, I mean, we either have like sweet tea or different types of fruit drinks in the fridge. It would be that, and then if there was sodas downstairs once in a while, but we didn't drink those a lot. But I was used to drinking something sweet. When I come home from work, or not work, school at that point, just used to it. And I remember when I was like, I don't want to drink this all the time. I don't want to be drinking this stuff. And I would just try to start drinking water. Oh, my gosh. You drink it, be like, this is just, no, it needs something. I want something else. Just water is so, nothing to it. But over time, I'm not saying this to put me up, okay? This is one example. I got challenges just like you do. I'm just saying, this is one area. Over time, a while, I mean, I would get to where I drank sweet stuff less and less, and heart and sodas. When I'd go out to eat, I'd want a Coke or Mountain Dew or something. I mean, literally Coke. I like Coke or Mountain Dew. But then it got to the point where I didn't ever drink soda. And I'll tell you, I rarely ever take a drink of a soda or anything sweet. And it tastes like syrup to me. Now, I don't crave it. I don't like it. I don't drink a lot of sweet. I prefer water. That's what I, you know, drink majority of times. I'll get water. I'm not saying that to put me up at all. I'm saying that as an example. There was a time where I did not want to drink water. Not that I would never drink water, but I'm saying as a normal thing, all the time, I didn't drink that. I wanted the sweet stuff. But my point is, we can train our bodies. We just say, I can't. No, it may feel like we can't because we've been doing something so long. It's the same thing with our thoughts. We can think we can't control our thoughts. We just get anxious about certain things. I just can't control it. That's not true. It's just that we've done it for so long, it feels like that's all we can do. But if we start changing it, our bodies will change. Same thing with, you got to renew our minds. Start making it think in line with the Word of God. But here Paul is saying, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Now he says, lest when I have preached to others, I should become disqualified myself. If you go where your flesh wants to go and just let it direct you, it won't take you in the right place. And we don't want that. 1 Corinthians 9:24 in the New Living Translation says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing, not just shadow boxing. Verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete. We talked about that some. Training it to do what it should. Notice that. That's a good picture. You train it. You train it. You know what training is? You know, if you're training in a certain sport, you're training to play a musical instrument, it means you're going through motions that are showing you what to do. It means you're not necessarily inclined that way, but you're training to do something. You're training your body. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So we have this race we're running, like Paul said, I am in this, I am subjecting my body, I'm making my body do what I tell it to do. I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to run my race with endurance. I'm going to strip off the weights. We talked about that. Go back and listen to that message if you didn't hear it. Strip off the weights. We talked about it a few times, but strip off the things that would slow us down. We have something to do. There are things that will trip us up, slow us down. Some of it's sin. Some of it's not. Some of it's just getting in the way. It's not necessarily wrong. It just gets in the way of what we're called to do. And so we strip off those things, and it's a process, and God will help us to strip off something and then strip off another thing. If we try to drop everything at once, we're going to go nuts. Thank God he doesn't just come to us and give us a list of 162 items and say, I want this done by next Monday. Get rid of all this stuff, change all these things. I want your schedule to look like this. I'll check in with you. And if not, you're done. Thank God. No, he'll say, what about this one thing here? Can you change this? And he'll deal with you to change it. And if you'll change that, he'll deal with you to get another thing and say, now, good job. What about this thing over here? What's he doing? He's getting us ready. He's getting us prepped. He's getting us sleeker. He's just, you're getting this thing off here, this thing off here, ready to run, to do well in our race. And like we talked about, our race is different than everybody else's race. There's no use comparing. The Bible tells us, in fact, not to compare to your neighbor. Don't say, well, I'm better than them. Yeah, but if they're running a different race than you, you're seeing this thing stick out from them. You know, the Bible tells you, you know, don't worry about that speck in your brother's eye when you have this plank sticking out of your eye. You know, you're going, yeah, but I got rid of that 10 years ago. Yeah, but they're not running your race. And it may not be as big a deal over there. It's not the big a deal to them. You're dealing with this other thing, on the other hand, that's going to mess you up. Forget about them and say, what do I need to do about this in my life? There's no use saying, well, gosh, they are just so much further than me in that area. Nah, don't worry about it. That's not going to help you. Beating yourself up about how you're not like somebody else is not going to help you. That's just going to, you're just giving place to the devil to beat you up. You know, if you're beating yourself up and you're using like a normal size hammer, the devil will come up and say, no, That hammer's way too small. Here, get an 8-pound sledgehammer. That's what you need to use. And he'll go and just, you give him a space to start beating you up, he'll come in and smash your brains out. Don't give him a place to start beating you up. That God does not beat people up, okay? Amen. God is not a God of condemnation. Amen. If you feel beat down, see, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation, okay? Conviction, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. He'll convict you. He'll put you, now I know he'll tell you that you're righteous as well, but he'll put something, you'll be aware that I need to change that. That the Holy Spirit does that, but he does not condemn you. Convicting is, I need to do something about that. Condemnation is, you're an idiot. Why did you do that? I can't believe you did that. Why? Now you're going to be messed up. Now you've blown it. You're not going to go. That's not God. That's not God. The Holy Spirit will come and say, you need to remove this. This is going to hurt you. And he'll help you to do it. Say, this is what I want you to do about it. But he won't beat you up about it. Did you hear me? But he'll show you. He will show you things that are wrong in your life. Yes, he will. Yes, he'll tell you you're righteous, but he'll also point out stuff that's not right. Some people aren't convinced of that. We've looked so much at, yes, you're doing the things that are right, but the Holy Spirit will prompt you to change something in your life that isn't right. Yes, he will. The Bible said the Word of God is for, one of the things is correction. Well, why would you need correcting if you're already doing everything? Does anybody actually believe in this room you're doing everything perfect? Huh? You don't have anything that you need to correct. And would God, as the Father, know what you need to correct? Would he not ever tell you? Would God withhold that information from you? You know how he's going to tell you? Two ways. By his word and by his spirit. That is called conviction. You read the word, something pops out, and you're like, I knew that. I need to get rid of that. I need to change that. That's the Holy Spirit. But he won't say, and I cannot believe you've been doing this for 10 years and beat you up over it. That is your own heart, or you're letting the Bible says that your own heart can condemn you over in 1 John, or that you're just letting the enemy, you're yielding to him. You're yielding to thoughts that he's putting in, trying to defeat you, trying to get you discouraged so that you'll just throw up your hands and say, forget it, I'm going to quit. It's no use. I've already blown the whole thing. See, that's what he wants. And that condemnation will destroy you. It'll destroy your body if you let it. It'll destroy your marriage if you let it. It'll destroy every area of your life. If you're under condemnation, walking around with the weight that you're doing everything wrong, you're ineffective, you're not a good witness, you're going to trip up. So that's not God. Everybody say that's condemnation is not God. But God will prompt us to change things. He absolutely will help us. Why? Because he wants to beat us up? No, because he wants to help us. He's going, just like you would if you're a father or mother with a child. Do you say, look, you talk to your child. You need to change this. Why? It's going to hurt you if you don't. Right? It should be motivated out of love. Well, is God love?
Yes.
Yeah, he is love. Well, he does the same thing. He will correct us. It's up to us to receive the correction. And when he does correct us, see, that's Satan is right there. And this is why people have got offended in churches. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will come that, yes, I need to change something. But Satan is right there to try to condemn you and beat you up with it. Something that's good, Satan will take it and try to bury you with it. And you know what? People listen to the condemnation and they think it's God. And they say, I've heard people say this. I don't like to go to church because then I feel bad when I do. You know what? You're listening to the wrong voice. what, see, God is coming, trying to bring the word, and he's trying to help. And you know, guys, there's going to be services where we're shouting and we're talking about what Jesus has done. There's going to be services where we're being prompted to make an adjustment. And that's not bad. You make adjustments so you can run faster. If you're in a race, they're always tweaking the cars, tweaking it to run, to go faster on the track, right? You know, halftime is there to make adjustments in the game plan so you can win, right? Well, you know what? We're getting whooped, but let's just keep going with the game plan. It, you know, why not? I don't want to change anything. Huh? That wouldn't be wise. That's the way Christians, don't ever tell me I'm doing everything wrong. I can't handle it. You know why we can't handle it? Because we've listened to the devil. I'm preaching good, well, this morning. You guys. We're listening to the devil. We're letting him beat us up, and then people will stay away from church because they felt bad because they were listening. The word came that was to bring life. And because they listened to the enemy will come and beat them up and say, see, you're so bad. Why have you let this? You need to... That's something you've allowed way too long, and it'll be condemnation. People will leave feeling beat up and say, I don't want to go back to that place. Mission accomplished. Satan is laughing all the way, saying, he just drove you away. See, God was bringing the answer that is going to help you get rid of something that has been on your life, and it's going to bring you to the next level. And then Satan comes and tries to condemn you with it to get you away from the answer and to drive you away from that place so that you won't receive the answer. And people say, I don't like the way I feel. I'm going to stay at home. And they stay with the condition that God was trying to free them from. And God all the while has open arms and wants to help. But people are running away. Why? Because they're listening to the enemy. They're listening to the devil. And he will try to divide you from God. And he has divided and separated people from church. We are supposed to be with other believers. The Bible says not to forsake the gathering together of ourselves. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be opening up the Word and looking at the Word together and having it preached and taught under the anointing. Your lives will be changed. And we can't substitute other avenues for gathering together and being in church. Amen. It's not the same thing. TV, thank God for technology. It's not the same thing. We have our messages on our website for supplements to listen to them if you missed them on an occasion. Or if you need to go back, like not all of you have been here the whole time. There's messages you can go. I can't preach the same messages. Obviously, we go on different messages. Well, I can't preach the message I did last year right now. Well, you can go back and listen to them right now. But what people have done and said, well, this is great. I can sit at home. I don't have to come. That's not what it's for. And people are missing the fellowship. You're going to be sharpened by other believers. You're to get involved and to develop the abilities that God has placed in you. And part of that's going to be you're going to volunteer in your local church, your local body. God is going to use that to grow you up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Step by step. This is part of our race to get connected. Hallelujah. God has a place for each of us. He has things that He's developing in each of us, things that will help us along our race. But if we get driven away, if we get disconnected, we're not going to get to the place that we need to arrive. We're not going to develop as we should. people have been offended and they've run away and they've been robbed. They've been robbed from what they think. Satan lies to people in all kinds of ways. He tries to steal the word immediately, the Bible says. He comes immediately to steal the word. Comes immediately to steal from you. He can get you distracted. Number one, if he can get you not to show up, he's already stolen the word. If he can get you to be offended by the word you heard and therefore discount the word because you're so full of offense, he's stolen the word. Then if he can, you start going and start off well, if those don't work and you refuse to get offended, you take the word and you start running with it, but then it doesn't happen overnight, you get offended by the word. By it not happening right away, and drop it. People are there too. Why isn't it working? Who said it's not working? What voice are you listening to? Who is that again? He's trying to steal the word. Satan, number one, he doesn't care anything about you or me. He hates us. You talk about hate. He's wicked beyond anything you can imagine. Anything you've ever seen or heard that sounds wicked, a news report or some account, he's that times a thousand. He inspired that. But he also inspired the thing here and here and here and here. He hates us. He hates Christians. And he does not want you to be connected to the head, to God, to your Lord Jesus. He does not want you to run your race. He doesn't want you to fulfill your course because that means God's kingdom's moving forward. And he does not want that. He is at war with God. You realize we're in a war. Whether you like it or not, you're in it if you're a Christian. And ignoring it is not, Satan doesn't care. He's going to try to take you out if he can. Try to make you ineffective and sidelined if he can. It doesn't do any good to say, well, I don't care. I don't want to engage. No, if you're caught in a crossfire, you saying, well, I don't want to engage is not going to make them stop shooting at you. Huh? Because you're the enemy. They're going to try to take you out anyway. Well, Satan is going to try to take you out. You don't have to be afraid of him. But you have to know about him. And the Bible said we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant means you just don't know. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We're not supposed to be like, well, I didn't know that was the truth. Well, some of it's coming out right now. We need to understand. The world is making light of things when we're in actually a serious time. I mean, your life is always serious. It's not supposed to be without joy. Don't get me wrong. We're supposed to enjoy the ride. Jesus enjoyed the ride, but it was also serious, right? I believe Jesus was fun to be around. I believe the Bible said he was anointed with the oil of joy above all his companions. He was a God. As he walked here, he was a God of joy. And as a man, walked as a man, filled with the Holy Spirit, but he also took it seriously. He didn't take it loosely, in other words. So Satan, he'll try to sideline us, he'll try to get us out, but he tries to, in a number of things we've talked about today, he'll try to get you to yield to your flesh. That's the way a lot of people have been sidelined. Just gets you completely dominated by your flesh so you can't do what God has called you to do. You won't be hooked up with who you're supposed to be hooked up with. because some people in the extreme form, they can't hardly function because they're so dominated by fleshly things. He'll try to get people offended. He'll try to get people disconnected. But all this is trying to stop us from running our race, from finishing our course. God is, He's developing each person as much as we'll let Him right now. Every person, if we're in the body of Christ, if we're running our race, we're being developed as we put ourselves in a position to be developed. If we take ourselves out of position, we start stagnating. And if we're not going forward, we don't stay still. We go backwards. You know, if you're standing in a river, I don't recommend, standing too far out in the river. Do not try this at home. But, even if you just go to where there's a bit of a current, or you could just say even a stream, let's say it's a stream going down that's fairly deep that you could swim in. If you take your leg, if you're standing there, you can stand there and the water will go by you. But if you lift your legs up so you're floating, if you don't swim against the current, you're going to go this way. You're going to go right with it, right? You're not going to stay still anymore. You're going to move. It takes effort to even stay still, right? You could go real slow and you could stay still. The current's going this way, but you're staying still. It takes even more effort to start making progress against the current. Well, do we understand? Or we need to understand the world is, the current of the world is pushing us toward ungodliness. And if you don't do anything to combat that and to go forward, you're going backwards whether you think you are or not. Because the culture is moving. It's moving fast. Or it has been moving fast. Thank God, I believe things are changing. But the Bible says the world is going to get worse. Don't try to avoid it. Don't think you're going to pray it away. It is going to get worse. The world will. But at the same time, the light of the gospel and the light of Christianity is going to get brighter. Amen. So at the same time you have things getting darker, you're going to have a brightness, and it's going to continue to happen. But if you just stand here and go, well, this is what the world's doing. You just took a step here. Well, I'll just do this and everything they're doing. You just took a step with them. You don't realize you're drifting. We got to push into it. We got to tell our bodies, no, you're not doing that. Well, everybody else is doing that. You ever hear that when you're growing up? What was the response to that? Yeah, exactly. Well, everybody jumped off the bridge, jumped off a cliff. Would you do it? We got to push into it. We are responsible for the race. We're responsible for developing. We're responsible for putting ourselves in a position where we can be developed. Well, I just want to get fed. I need to get built up. Well, you do need to get built up, but you know what? You also need to exercise. Huh? If you're going to gain muscle and all you do is eat, not going to go the way you think it will. Huh? What you eat is really important. If you want to build muscle, you have to eat the right kinds of foods. You can't just, you need to eat a decent amount of protein. You can't just eat whatever. But you also need to exercise. And some people in Christianity are thinking it's all about eating. And that they're going to fulfill what God has called them to do. You're not. I'm not. We have to take in good meals, spiritual meals, but we also have to exercise and grow and develop. And you don't develop overnight. You don't grow overnight. And just because you heard a good message doesn't put you in a new position. It's the potential's there, but then we have to exercise it. If you lift weights, you don't just eat. You gotta lift the weights to exercise the muscle, and you gotta push it. If you want to build muscle, you know what you need to do? You use your muscle and you break it down. You lift something that's heavier than your normal to where it breaks down, and you know what your body does? It builds it back up stronger. You know what people don't want to hear that spiritually. They want to sit right where they are and get stronger. And they just want to eat. I want to eat 15 meals a day, and now I'm going to be a spiritual giant. No, you won't. You're going to eat. And let me just say, people are eating way too much what they think, and actually a lot of it's junk food. If we'd strip down to eat what we need to eat, and I will tell you, and I will be bold about this, and I'm going to say it again over time, we need to be in church, okay? People need to get into church. They need, because that is the vehicle God has ordained, the church. We're the church, but He's put gifts in the body of Christ. And I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. But a pastor's role is to feed. That's what it means. Pastor, shepherd, you know what that means? It means literally to feed. I got messages on this before. I'm not going to go, but we're talking. I'm not going to take time to flip to scriptures. But the Bible says, feed the flock. Well, that's the spiritual food. You realize the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle, and then the teacher. Teacher feeds, but a pastor will always have a teaching gift to feed. Pastor, teacher. But the rest of them, if you are not under a pastor, you will not grow to where you need to grow, period. Boy, that went over really well. Let me say it again. If you are not under a pastor, receiving teaching from a pastor, you will not grow the way you ought to grow. You know why? You're not getting fed. I don't care how many recordings you listen to of your favorite Bible teacher, if they're not a pastor, those are supplements. Those are to supplement the body of Christ, not to be a substitution. People have missed it hugely in this area. Think I can stay at home and listen to my favorite Bible teacher. I'm not knocking it. Thank God. For Bible teachers, it's a supplement, though. It's not a replacement for the church. And, you know, people will put that in place and not be hooked up with their church. I'll tell you this. It's pretty much most of it all you can handle to just act on what you get in the local church if you'll come. If you'll put it into practice, there are, now I'm not saying you can't get other things, and you should. I've listened to recordings over time, but never at the expense of attending church before I was ever a pastor. Now, again, I'm not saying this. You don't want me to use you as an example, so I only have myself to use. You don't want me to talk about you. But, I mean, when I was in that church in Lincoln, Nebraska, I was there pretty much any time the door was open, and I grew under that ministry. I grew. I had the Word of God fed to me Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings. We had some other things going on at different times. But I also got involved. And I started developing, exercising. First thing they asked me to do was greet. Would you be a greeter? Sure. I'm single. In college at that point. You want to greet? Sure, I'll greet. Did that for a little bit. Wasn't long they asked me, would you play the keyboard on a Wednesday night? They had a piano, and they had a synthesizer. I played the keyboard. Mrs. Kissley, the pastor's wife, played the piano. That was kind of the main instrument, and then they had the synthesizer. I started playing the keyboard. And then eventually I started playing one night. She wasn't able to do it or whatever, so I played the piano, and then from then on I started playing the piano, main thing. They asked me, would you clean the church every once in a while? Sure, clean the church. Come on Saturdays and clean the church. Was involved in church prayer. Wasn't the youth minister, but would you take the youth? Now, I was young, I was in the 20s. Would you take the youth down to Kansas on a retreat? Sure, I'll do it. Took somebody's van, got all the youth, packed them in, took them down to Kansas for a youth retreat. You know, eventually met Shelley. Started singing before that. Didn't want to sing. Never sang, really. I mean, you know, sang, but never sang anything. Didn't want to sing, but we felt, oh, that's the path I needed to go. I had to, man, that night I was praying. I was so nervous. I was going to play the piano and sing. Did not want to do it. I felt like God was supposed to do it. God was leading me to do it, to develop me. That was Wednesday night. First song I played was What a Mighty God We Serve. I think the second one was like, what is that one? I don't know what the second one was, but it might have been like, Lord, You Are, you know, Lord, You Are. More Precious Than Diamonds, that one. I don't know if that was it or not. We did do that song. And Shelley came. But all this time, I'm exercising. I didn't start. Well, ready to go start a church in Andover, Massachusetts. Let's go. So I'm going. Every time that door's open, I rarely, if ever, miss service for anything. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a college student. Then I'm an early professional. But I'm telling you how we're talking about running a race. We're talking about getting the word in. We're talking about disciplining ourselves, you know? So I just did what they had asked me to do, and it was growth. Playing the keyboard. Well, how do you flow with the Holy Spirit? I remember one of the first times playing the synthesizer, and I was just playing at the end. We were playing, and then I just kept playing. And Pastor Gill was just letting us sit there, and he just pointed at me and just was like, it's on him, just let us go. Well, I don't know how to flow with the Holy Spirit. I'm just learning. How do you learn? You do. Well, it's easy. I'll just do whatever. You know how you learn? You do. And you make some mistakes. And I'm thinking, well, I'm doing the best I can to do that, but, you know, how do I separate the playing the piano and the natural that I have to think to play the piano with being led? And I was thinking, I had this weird idea, well, you know, you just close your eyes and just do whatever. Well, yeah, you can get there, but that's after you've trained your mind and you know what you're playing. The less you have to think about what you're doing, the more you can let the Spirit of God flow through you. But you don't shut off your brain. That's why, you know, the more better you know the music, the better you can flow. But I'm learning. Then I started singing. Had to get over my pride. Had to learn to develop. Learn how to lead people into praise and worship. Learn how to follow the Spirit of God in a service. Learn how to pick songs. I spent like 4 hours that first Saturday that they asked me to pick a set. I wasn't even singing. I spent like 4 hours picking out 6 songs. We used to sing more songs. Because we spend a long time praise and worship, but more songs doesn't equate to better worship. It was just a leftover of the charismatic movement. People just going to sing 45 minutes, whether it's the Spirit of God or not. An hour, we're just going to sing. Nothing wrong. You know, God anoints the singing, but you don't just do it to do it. I spent 4 hours picking out those songs, but I got over time, I got quicker. Okay, what's the direction of the service? So Shelley joined. Shelley didn't play, or she didn't start. She didn't. Well, she's traveling with the Rhema Singers and Band. She shows up. Guess what? She didn't even sing. She didn't even start playing, singing, nothing. She sat in the pew. I'm leading praise and worship. And then after a while, we put her in the background singers, and that's where she stayed the whole time. She never led, except, you know, in certain situations she'd lead, but I was the praise and worship leader. Because I was, Lord, I did that for 5.5 years where I learned to flow with the Spirit of God and lead praise and worship. And know that at the end of the service, when Pastor Gill, I could tell when he was wrapping up or when I needed to go up and start playing the synth, he didn't have to tell me. I knew when he was wrapping up, and I'd go to the keyboard and start just playing so that there was a seamless transition, and then he would start ministering to people. And I would just flow with him. Well, how did I learn that? I just stepped up and started doing it. No, I had to grow and learn. But I'm getting the word every 3-4 days. I'm in church getting the word, but then what am I doing? Exercising it. You have to say this because Satan just tries to offend people. I'm not saying this to build Jim Preston. I'm giving you an example that how I walked through this, and I'm not done walking through it, but we don't just learn by osmosis. You don't just hear, you do. It's vital to be hooked up. That's how we're going to get where we need to get it in our walk. God's going to develop it, and some of it is just within the local church. You volunteer, you developing the gifts that are inside. God has more in you than you know, but it's important that you develop it. And there's nothing that's better or worse than other. It's what God is leading you to do. What is God asking you to do? We need to be fed, and we need to exercise, and we need to take it seriously. And whatever God asks you to do, you do it to the best of your ability. Amen. People say, well, that's just no big deal. I'll try hard once I get into a position that matters. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll do it exactly the way you take the position you're in now. Goes for secular employment as well. Well, you know, if I'm managing something, I'll do it. If I'm promoted, I'll do it. But right now, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Before I was married to Shelley, Pastor Gill asked me to preach on a Sunday when they were out of town. Asked me to preach, first sermon. I have that on tape. I have a box of cassettes of all the messages I preached when I was at Abundant Life. But how do you learn? You start doing. Pastor Gill, give me feedback, you know, about some stuff. But how do you learn? Do. Gives God something to help you, to guide you, to lead you, to bring you up in the things of God. What we're called to do here on the earth, there are natural things that we're doing, but the most important thing overriding is what are we doing for the kingdom of God? Over everything. If you're a business person, you ought to be doing it because you believe that's what God has called you to do, and do it to the best of your ability to forward the body of Christ. It's not, God will bless you through it, but it's not to make a personal fortune. If you're a Christian, you're to use that to forward the kingdom of God. And then we all need to bring our natural, our abilities and talents that God has given us, and within the church, You volunteer, and God will help you develop those abilities and give some that you didn't know you had, and bring us up and continually guide us, help us, mold us, shape us. And we have this race that we're running, but it's not just, God will give you something that you're called to do, but he doesn't generally do it 15 years out of that. So he'll tell you, do this, and you have a decision. Are you going to do that? And then how are you going to get to the next step? You're going to develop where you are doing that and being faithful to be fed, to listen to the word, and then to put it into practice. And as you get that down, you're going to get more, and you're going to grow, and you're going to get stronger. And then you look back and you see how God molds you and changes you and brings you up, and He gets the glory because you can't figure out how to do all those things. in your head. You can have your plan that you think is a good path to take, but we need to submit it to God and say, God, what would you have me to do? What is it you want me to do now? So he asked me to preach, and then he asked me to preach again, and he asked us to fill in. Remember, the first time Shelly and I, as a married couple, it wasn't that long after we were married, they went on vacation, and we were there for the people and ran the service and all that. And this one man in the church got in a, he was a trucker, got in a wreck, and we had to go to the hospital and talk to his wife. And I mean, it's just like all these things happened that first time. Well, that's training. And we were talking to Pastor Gill about it, and and they were trying to be on vacation, but we were doing stuff. It's like all these things happened the first time they went out of town and left us. But over time, we're developing, we're learning to flow. Flow together. I've told you, I've mentioned this a few weeks ago, Shelly and I, it's taken us time to learn to flow together. We would start practicing something at home. She gave me voice lessons. You ever taken a lesson from your spouse? Especially when it's in an area you're not confident in to begin with and it's their strength. Oh man. There was some times we had the lesson ended short. It cut short. Because it was all either of us could handle at that point. Our basement, 424 North 8th Street, Lincoln, Nebraska. I had my piano there, and she'd be telling me what to do. And, oh, my goodness. No, you're doing this wrong. I had to put my pride down. Well, I'm super spiritual. I would just get up, and I would take it from anybody. Good. You would? Try it. It's easy to say, well, I'd do it. I'd submit my will. Okay. Do it. You learn by doing it. Well, I would flow with my wife. No problem. Okay. Do it. We have flesh. When we talk about subjecting our flesh, I know you know this. Shelly and I are not. Our flesh is not any different than your flesh. And when it gets pricked, it wants to prick back. So we would be practicing certain things, and we'd stop. It doesn't happen that often. I mean, these guys are, it doesn't happen that often now. But it did. You're growing. We were learning, developing. People want to just read it and think, well, I'm there. Where's my church of, I just want to ask me to speak and just put me in the position. Why? God doesn't work that way. What's he asking us to do now? Well, no, I'm way more developed than that. I've had this teaching. I'm way more developed. Well, have we developed and grown? And God will just take us step by step, and he knows when you're ready to do the next thing. He is faithful, and he is beyond. His knowledge is beyond ours. He'll ask you to do stuff. Your flesh. What we taught, we mentioned subjecting our flesh. If you do just what your flesh wants to do, you won't go very far in the plan of God. If I tell you what, my flesh did not want to sing. My flesh did not want to take lessons from my wife, who was a music major and a vocal major and traveled professionally. My flesh did not want to work in the children's, and again, I'm not saying this to put me up, I can use myself as an example, that's it. But my flesh did not want to work in the children's and the toddlers when I went to Rhema. Going back there with the 3-year-olds. 4-year-olds or whatever. I can't remember exactly what age I was back there with. Going from station to station with these little kids, getting down and playing with them. Then you go to the station where it's the Bible lesson and showing them this and doing their craft. I'm on my hands and knees. doing that? That's what God was telling me to do at that point. Do you think my flesh did not want to do it? There's some people that are called to do that. They're good at it. Where's Crayosa? She's back there. She is awesome in the toddlers. She has a heart for them. But, you know, some people get the idea, well, he's only going to call you to do exactly what you want to do. You don't know God. You don't know him very well if you think that's the case. Just read the Bible. He's going to ask you to do stuff. You're going to have to subject your flesh. Subject your body and tell it what to do. No, God is saying this. We're going to do this. No, I wanted to be playing music, I'll tell you, be honest with you. Thought that's what I was going to do. After all, I led praise and worship for 5.5 years. I know the music minister. It's a personal friend of ours. And we did a little bit in children's later. But Shelley went on, but I was in the children's. God will grow us up. He's getting those edges off of us. He's helping us to get rid of some weights that we didn't know were there. He's helping us to get on our path, to go in the direction that he has for us so that we can go faster, so that we can go stronger, so that we are going and being developed in the path that he has for us. But it's not all fun and easy. I'm not saying all of it's hard. I'm just saying a lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't. They want it. They just want to pop candy, you know, like sit. Don't. They want to just feed themselves on spiritual, what they call food, but a lot of it's junk food, and not exercise at all, and then tell everybody else what to do. What have you done? What, I'm not saying you, but what people, I've seen people like this, they want to give instruction to other people, and they have not done anything. They just got a bunch of stuff in their head. They've heard a bunch of stuff, and so they think that qualifies them to tell other people stuff. That's not the way God works. He has something for each of us, and it's important, and he's going to develop us. And part of it's going to be us subjecting our flesh to do what he wants us to do. Part of it's going to be us getting ourselves in a position, getting ourselves fed with good spiritual food, getting our spiritual muscles exercised so that we're growing and we're developing and we're going to the next step and we're prepared for what he has for us. Amen. Amen. It's an exciting journey to go along with him, and it's not fun being stretched. Anybody that tells you it is probably has not been stretched. Oh, well, I'd go through that. Well, again, I don't know what you're talking about, but nobody likes to be stretched because it means you're going into a position that you're not comfortable with. But our bodies have got to be second. Our minds, we got to put it aside and say, no, you're going to do this because it's what God's called you to do. This is part of your development. Now, looking back, you can look back and say, oh, I'm so thankful I got that and I got that. It doesn't look so big, but you know at the time it was like, good night, this is all I can handle. Well, didn't he say you wouldn't be tempted beyond what you could bear? He didn't say he wouldn't go right to the edge. Why do I have to do this? But God will bring us. He knows where your breaking point is, and he's not going to get to that breaking point. Might feel like it, but it's not going to be at that point. But he does expect us to grow. He does expect us to develop. He does expect us to get in a position where we can get fed. Amen. Amen. And we can get stronger. We can get better. We can grow with him. We can run our race. Hallelujah.